believe it's, what is it, page 8 and down. Thank you all for being here today. Hope you get a blessing from being here. Hope you try to be a blessing to others there. Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 24. Proverbs, chapter number 24. Proverbs chapter 24, I want to talk to you this morning on this subject, on spiritual maintenance or spiritual poverty. Spiritual poverty, we'll probably call it. Proverbs chapter number 24, we're going to take verse number 30 through 34 for a text verse, text verses. Proverbs 24, verse number 30 through 34. Spiritual poverty. Let's read together. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth in thy want as an armed man. Spiritual poverty. You pray with me and for me. Father, we come to thy throne of grace this morning. Dear God, we thank you, God, for being so good to us, so kind and so long-suffering and patient with us, Father. Father, I pray to you to help me to preach this morning. Help me to be a blessing to your people. Thank you, God, for the privilege to stand here. Father, I pray that you might apply these things to our heart. God, please do what I cannot do. I can't do it, God, but I pray that you'll give us understanding. May the Spirit of God be our teacher. I pray we'd be helped, edified, and built up in the faith. And God, I pray that you'll give us understanding of these words. Please help me now to preach, and I pray and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Spiritual poverty. These verses of Scripture here tell us about a man, Solomon. Solomon, he's a writer of the book of Proverbs. He's walking by a field, and he calls it there, in verse number 30, he calls it the field of the slothful. The field of the slothful, and he said it's the vineyard of the man of understanding. So it's a field there, and it's supposed to be a vineyard. It's supposed to be a vineyard. But the Bible says there in verse number 31, that it's all grown over with thorns and nettles. Nettles are something like weeds. And it's all grown over, he said, and it has a wall of some kind around it, a stone wall, and it's been broken down. And he says in verse number 32, he said, I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. So when he came by, he saw this field. It's all grown up in weeds and thorns and had a wall and it's broken down. And he said, I looked on it and I received instruction. In other words, he learned from it. He learned from what he saw. He learned from what he saw. We should always try to learn something from what's going on. Sometimes you can look in other people's lives and you can find out some things to do or not to do. But he learned from what he saw, and here's what he learned in verse number 33. He said, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, and a little folding of the hands to sleep. He said, just takes a little bit of sleep, a little bit of slumber, a little bit of folding of the hands. That's all it takes, and it's all grown up. He said, the vineyard got this way because the owner didn't take care of it, and it doesn't take a whole lot. It just takes a little bit. A little folding of the hands. When he should have been out working, he was just laying around and his hands were folding and slumbering a little bit of sleeping. I don't know if you've ever done that, but I've done that a lot of times. You know, I've done that a lot of times. I didn't want to go out. The weeds grew up and the thorns took it over, and I've got a pasture out on each side of my house, and I didn't plow it last few years, and I was hoping maybe that grass would grow up there for my few cows that I've got out there. I was hoping maybe that grass would grow up, you know. But instead of grass coming up, it's basically what happened here. you know, the weeds grew up and just covered it over. Now, cows will eat weeds and stuff like that. They'll eat that, but I'd like to have some grass out there. And on the other side of the field, well, I let it lay out some too, but instead of weeds growing up, most of it was just grass burrs. And man, I can't walk anywhere without stepping on grass burrs. You know, I've got millions and zillions of grass burrs out there. And so that's all you have to do in order to have weeds or grass burrs or things that you don't want in the field is just let it go. You see, that's about all you have to do. And that's what will happen. But if you want something good to come up out there, if you want something good out there that'll bring you some money or do you some good, you have to go out there and work on it. I had a little plot and I had a garden on it. And I planted some watermelons and cucumbers and cantaloupes and different things like that. And I had a few, but I didn't hoe it enough. And the weeds grew up and covered that thing over too. And I still had some fairly good watermelons, you know. But still the weeds grew up. Man, you got to work on it hard to keep the weeds out. I didn't plant any weeds, though. I didn't plant a single weed out there. I didn't plant a single grass burr. They just came up. They just came up naturally. See, that's all you got to do. But I did plant the watermelons. I dug a little hole, and I put two watermelon seeds in there, and I covered it up, and I watered it, and I put the cantaloupes out there, and I put the cucumbers out there. I did all of that kind of stuff, and most of those things come up. But still, I didn't plant any weeds or grass burrs or anything, but they still came up. They just came up automatically, you see. And so they try to crowd it out. He says there that the weeds and the thorns grew up and covered it over. And he says in verse number 34 that this man here, he said what he learned, he said, so shall thy poverty come. Poverty would come to this man, he said. It'll eventually come. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. One that traveleth, he said, and thy want as an armed man. In other words, he said this guy would be like a man who's traveling on a road, and he comes to the end of the day, and he's tired, and he just lays down in the road. Instead of going to a place of safety, he just lays down there, and he sleeps, and he wakes up in the morning, and there's an armed man standing over him, waiting to steal from him everything that he has. And so he said he's a man like that. His poverty shall come. Why? Because he didn't take care of what he had. He didn't take care of the vineyard. God gave him a vineyard. Well, that's a blessing to have. It's a blessing to have a piece of land to walk on. Did you know that? I get to walk on the same ground, the same dirt that I walked on when I was 7 years old. I used to walk up and down the road out there behind my house. I used to walk up and down when I was 7 years old, and I was barefooted. And my mom and daddy told me we couldn't afford shoes, so I guess that's true. Couldn't afford shoes. I had to go barefooted for the first two summers out there. But I used to walk up and down those fields out there when I was 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old, and I grew up out there. And it's a blessing to have a piece of ground to walk on. But the thing is, if you've got a piece of ground, if you've got some land, if you've got a house, or if you've got a car, if you own anything, it may be easy to get it, but it's hard to take care of it, see. It's hard to maintain it, see. I'm talking to you this morning about spiritual maintenance. I'm talking about spiritual poverty. You can come to spiritual poverty if you don't take care of what you have, you see. Spiritual poverty. He said he's like this man that traveleth. He lays down out there somewhere. He folds his hand, goes to sleep, wakes up, and there's an armed man standing over him, waiting to take everything that he has, you see. He doesn't go to a place of safety. He just lays down out there. Everything has to be maintained. Everything has to be kept up. Nothing evolves on its own. Nothing evolves. Nothing automatically gets better. Nothing automatically gets better. Clocks do not run up. They run down. Now, most of y'all are not old enough to know about, a few of you, to know what a clock is that you have to wind up. My first watch that I had, you know, was a little Timex watch and cost, I think, probably $8. My folks got it for me for Christmas. It's got a little stem on it right here. And you have to wind it up so it'll run. Now, they don't have those much anymore, maybe a few of them. But now nowadays all they have is quartz watches and things like that, you know, I think. But clocks, you got to wind them up. Every single day you got to wind them up so that they'll keep on going. Nothing runs up. it always runs down. The owner of this field, he might have been an evolutionist. He didn't think the weeds and the thorns would take over his vineyard. He thought it would just keep on getting better and better. He didn't believe that his wall needed to be maintained. He thought that with enough time, it would just get better and better, and the wall would go stronger and stronger. But you know what, folks? It goes the other way. It goes the other way. Everything in this world, everything in this universe, that's why evolution can't be true. That's why evolution is not true. I don't believe anything about evolution. Everything deteriorates. Everything runs down. Everything falls apart. You can go out here and you can build yourself a new house, a brand new house, and you can leave it sitting out here somewhere and don't touch it, don't maintain it. And with enough time, you can come back and look at that house, a brand new house, and in a few years, it may take a long time, but that house will fall to the ground without any maintenance. You have to constantly be working on it all the time because everything runs down, everything deteriorates and falls apart and goes to pieces if it's left to itself. If there's not an outside force that comes along and fixes it up and takes care of it, then it will fall apart. It's easy to buy a new house. All you got to do is sign on the dotted line. If you got a little bit of money, sign on the dotted line. You can move in. But then you have to take care of it, and that takes a lot of work. You got to take care of it, see? You have to constantly be cleaning, mowing, fixing, repairing, picking up, painting, washing. You know, I hardly ever wash a dish, but you know, every once in a while I do. My wife, she does all that. She never lets the dishes pile up. I mean, when I take a dirty dish over to the sink, she's right behind me. She washes it right then. She washes it right there. While she's washing the dish, I'm over there dirtying up some more. I never wash any clothes in the clothes washer. My wife washes them all. She never lets the clothes hamper run over. I mean, as soon as it gets up a few clothes in there, she puts them in the clothes washer and she washes them. And I'm out there dirtying up some more. See, but you see, I probably won't step on anybody's toes here, but you know, you ever been in a house where the dishes are all, you know, piled up, you know, and nothing to eat on except, you know, just a bunch of dirty dishes there, you know. That's what happens when you don't maintain your house. When you don't maintain, you got a clothes washer, you know, you don't keep the clothes washed. The floor gets all dirty. When I was a kid, I went home, you know, the kids do this, spend the night with somebody. And I was shocked because my house wasn't like this. My house, my wife, my mother was kind of like my wife, you know. And I went into this guy's house. He lives out here west of town. I went to his house and all there was a trail. There was a trail around through the house and there were clothes and stuff like that piled on each side of it, you know, like that. And I was shocked because I never seen anything like that because, you know, my house wasn't like that. See, if you don't maintain your house, It's easy to buy a house. You just move in, but then you have to take care of it. It's easy to buy a car. You know, you just sign on the dotted line and they say, make the payments. And then after that, you know, you got to take care of it. You got to maintain it. If you don't maintain your car or anything else, then it's just going to fall apart, you see. And so you got to maintain everything has to be maintained. It's easy to get saved. It's not hard. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Admit you're a sinner. You cannot save yourself. You're hopelessly lost. And just like the Philippian jailer said in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31, came stumbling out of the jail and looked at Paul and Silas and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said this, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's not hard to get saved. It's not hard to get saved. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, plus nothing, and he will save you. It's easy. It is not hard, you see. But then after you get saved, you have to do some things. Bible says in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 39, it says, by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. I went through the book of Acts the other day, the whole book, and I circled all the times it says believe. Believe. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you believed on Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's the gospel. The gospel is this, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. That's number one. And that he was buried. That's number two. And that he was raised again from the dead. That's number three. By which you are saved. If you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can have eternal life. It's free. It's for free. It's for sure. And it's forever. He will never take it away from you. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And verse number 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You do not get saved by good works. You do not get saved by how good you are. You get saved by the grace of God. If you will trust His Son, He sent His Son, and He made a sacrifice on the cross, the perfect sacrifice. He paid for every sin that you've ever committed or that you ever will commit. He paid for those sins, and you cannot do any better than what He has done for you. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5 that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Salvation is the free gift of God, but after you get saved, God has some things that He wants you to do. And you have to maintain your spiritual life or you will come to poverty. You will become like some people that we all know that are not here this morning in these pews. They are not here because they're in spiritual poverty. They have not maintained the life, the eternal life that God gave them, you see. And you would have never thought that. You would have never thought that. King David, chosen by God to be the king over Israel, the first legitimate king. God said about King David, he's a man after God's own heart. He is the man I'm choosing to be the first legitimate king over the nation of Israel. He's the man. I want that man. And at the height of his power, at the height of his kingship over the nation of Israel, you know what he said? I'm going to fold my hands today. I'm going to slumber a little bit today. By the way, this is found in 2 Samuel chapter number 11. The Bible says, on the day when kings go forth to battle, King David stayed home. He stayed home. He folded his hands. A little slumber, a little sleep. Just one day. Just one day. And then he went over and looked out the window and he saw something he shouldn't have seen. He saw Bathsheba. And he wound up committing adultery with Bathsheba. Not only did he do that, now listen carefully. But then the consequences come. Sin always has consequences. The Bible says that we will reap what we sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap in this life. In this life. Not only that, but the baby that would come from that adultery died. That's number one. Number two, he had a son by the name of Amnon who raped his sister. Number three, his other son, Absalom, killed Amnon. And then Absalom revolted against his dad and he was killed and hanged in a tree by his long hair. And all that is a result of David, just a little bit of folding of the hands. A little bit of slumber. A little bit of slumber. I don't want to go today. I don't want to go to church today. I don't want to do what I'm supposed to do today. And he didn't. a little bit of sleep, a little bit of slumber, a little bit of folding of the hands. Salvation is free, but you need to maintain. I'm not saying you're going to lose it. I believe in eternal security. I mean absolute eternal security. But you can do things in this life where you will come to spiritual poverty. That's what we're talking about. Spiritual poverty. Let me give you two or three points here. They're not really great points, but to keep me on the right track here. Number one, what is required? What is required for the ruination of a family or your kids or a church is this. Just a little bit of folding of the hands. That's all it's required. A little bit of folding of the hands. To say, I want to do my own thing. Have you ever said that? Have you ever said that? I just want to do my own thing. You ever said that? Well, if you haven't, I have. I just wonder what I'm missing out there. I wonder what I'm missing. There's people say that. I might be missing something. Yeah, I'll tell you what you're missing. You're missing divorces. You're missing adultery. You're missing all that kind of stuff. And you need to miss all that. You see. What is required for the ruination? Oh, it's just a little bit of folding of the hands. A little bit of slumber, a little bit of sleep. Are there no weeds coming up? Are there any weeds coming up in your life that need to be pulled up? What does it take for you to go from active, working, Christian, church member to an absentee church member? Is just to a little folding of the hands and a little bit of slumber. That's all it takes. A little bit. All it takes is just to neglect your Bible to grow weak. You might say, well, we could all say this. Well, I know what's in there. I've already read it some. I read some last week. But it's not the same. You got to read it over. The other day, I was reading a Bible. I won't say where I was reading it, but I was reading in this place, and it says, he's talking about doing some things, and he asked the question, dost thou do the same things? And it's like he poked me in the side and said, dost thou do the same things? And I said, yeah, I probably am. You see, you don't get that if you don't read your Bible. You don't get that if you don't come and hear preaching. The Bible says God hath chosen the foolishness of preaching. And sometimes I know it's foolish. God hath chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You see. And that's all it takes for us to become negligent, for us to become absentee church members, see. For us to neglect the church is to neglect the fellowship with God's preaching, to hearing preaching and teaching. That's number one. What is required for the ruination of our family or kids or church? It's just fold your hands and say, I may be missing something. I want to do something else. Number two is your flesh is still the same as it was before you got saved. Did you know that? Your flesh, that's this stuff right here. You see, you folks that come down here and had a birthday this morning, I'm sorry, you got a year older. Your flesh is now a year older, see. But that's all this stuff is right here. It's just flesh. And flesh never changes. Until it gets to be glorified flesh, it's always going to be the same. It's always going to be the same. Your flesh is not saved. Only your soul is saved, and your flesh still has an appetite. It still has an appetite. It can never be trusted. Jesus said this in John chapter number 3. He said, except a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That's verse number 3. And I think it goes on down to verse number 5, and he says this. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's right here. This flesh right here. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that's all it is. It's just flesh. The Bible says flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You're not going to go to heaven in this flesh right here until it gets glorified. You're not going to heaven. You've got to have glorified body. But your flesh, you're going to have to battle your flesh until the day that you die. the day that you die, the day that they put you in the grave, or that Jesus comes and takes us up, that's when you don't have to worry about your flesh anymore, you see. Jesus said in that verse, John chapter 3 and verse number 6, I believe it is, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, it's just flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's the good part. That which is born of the Spirit, that's a capital S in the Bible there. Capital S, Spirit of God. That which is born of the Spirit of God gives you life, gives you spiritual life. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, spiritual life. And your spirit on the inside is joined to Jesus Christ and His Spirit. That's why you can't lose it. You're joined to Him. You're in Christ. Spiritually, literally, but spiritually, you can't see it. You are joined to Jesus Christ. Spirit, that's the good part. The world never stops trying to entice you. The flesh wants to go, always wants to go away from God. Folks, do we not all know folks? I don't even like to talk about it. We all know people, folks who once loved the Bible, who once loved the church, and it makes me weep thinking about it. Who once loved the Bible, who once loved the church, who once loved preaching, who witnessed to people, who loved to sing hymns, who sang specials, yes, who sang specials, who prayed about everything. You know anybody like that? Who prayed about everything. They tithed, they gave to missions. They memorized Scripture. They trained their children. They did all of these things. But now, if you talk to them, all of these things would be strange to them. That'd be strange to them, you see. Why did that happen? They got offended. Bible says this in Psalm 119, I believe it's verse number 165. He says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 6. He says, blessed is he who is not offended in me. As you go on your life and you and your Christian life, and if you can keep from being offended at anything, then you'll be blessed. Look here, folks. We're people are all human, and hardly any of us do anything right all the time. You ever stuck your foot in your mouth? Well, see, I do that all the time. I mean, when somebody gets mad at somebody, guess who they're usually mad at? Well, they're usually mad at me. Preacher said something, he shouldn't have said that. Why? He said that and I can't get over it. You can't? You mean you're not big enough to get over it? You mean you're not big enough to forgive? You're not big enough to do that? No, I can't. 25 years later. 25 years, yeah. They didn't kept their whole family out of church for 25 years because the preacher did something. As if the preacher was God or something. He's not God. Quit trusting in the preacher. Quit trusting in other people in the church. They're all going to let you down. You see, none of them are perfect. See, none of them are perfect. Somebody else said something and they got offended. Blessed is he who's not offended in me. My third point is this. The world, the flesh, and the devil never take a day off. The carnal nature never goes on vacation, nor does it ever stop attacking. I'm going to read you some verses here. I think I could quote them for you, but I'm going to go over to 1 Peter chapter 5, and you can just listen or look it up if you'd like. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, and here's what it says. Peter says, I'll read verse number 7 along with it. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. Do you ever stop and think about that? For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. He doesn't fly about. He walks. It says right there, he walks about. He walketh about, seeking. Well, see, that means he's always moving. He's always looking for somebody. He's always looking for some open door where he can come in. You see, he's always moving. He walks about. The Bible says that about the demons. The word demons not used in the King James Bible, but the devils. They're devils. You know what I mean by demons, the devils. They walk about. They walk about. I'd like to be able to see that. I'd like to be able to see that. It walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I mean, I can imagine all kinds of things, about that. I can imagine one of the devils, the devil, capital D, one of his little devils, coming over and said, "Hey, boss, if you could go over to that house over there on, what's your street? Knoxville. If you go over to that house on Knoxville, you can cause them some big trouble. You can cause them some big trouble. If you can go up to Clovis and go over on, what's your street's name?
Don Loop.
You can go over to Don Loop. There's a guy over there, he just got saved. You could really cause him some trouble. You could have a good time over there." See? Now God has to give him permission. I'm just kidding with you folks. The Bible says he walketh about seeking whom he may what?
Devour.
Devour. See, he's not dissatisfied with you. He wants to devour your whole family. A couple of pages over to the right there. Oh, no, the next verse. Verse number 9 says, "Whom resist steadfast." You know what the word steadfast is? It means constant, not wavering. To strive against him, to oppose. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Turn the page to 2 Peter chapter 3, and I believe it's verse number 14. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 14 says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things." Well, we have to go back up there and see what we're looking for. New heavens and a new earth in verse number 13. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent." See? Now, that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be diligent. I know everybody gets tired and we get weary, but to be diligent, it means the same thing. Constant. Constant in effort, you see. That's what we're supposed to be in our Christian life, see? It doesn't cost you anything. You don't even have to try to get saved. You don't have to try to get saved. You just trust a person. You trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. But after you get saved, he's got some work for you to do. And you need to maintain your Christian life. Otherwise, you will come to spiritual poverty, you see. Let me ask you something. Is there a time when you were more in love with God and Jesus Christ as you are now? Is there a time when you used to read your Bible every day, but now you don't do that? Is there a time when you used to come to church faithfully, but now you don't do that? Was there a time when you used to come to church Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and you were faithful in doing that, see? But now then you kind of folded your hands just a little bit. You folded your hands, a little bit of slumber, a little bit of sleep, you see. Bible says you come to spiritual poverty, And the vineyard that God has given us will grow up in weeds, spiritual poverty. I think I know most of you, if you're not saved, but salvation, if you're not sure, salvation is free, it's for sure, and it's forever. And God wants you to be saved, but then he wants you to live the kind of Christian life. Let me give you one last verse here. It's in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 12. It says that we are to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And verse number 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, are you looking? Are you looking for him, or you stop looking? You stop looking. Have you folded your hands? Just a little bit of slumber. That's all it takes. A little bit of slumber, a little bit of sleep, that's all it takes to come to spiritual poverty. Let's bow our heads, please, for just